News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 18th of June, Anno Domini 2006. Happy Father's Day. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use at 8 minutes after the hour. You hear Rob Linton is back. Apparently, he's evaded the law.
I'm not
in the
sure
Midwest.
If I'm completely back or not.
Well, we've never.
You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of here 50-50.
We question that each week.
That's really a high for you, I believe, at this point. Yes, indeed.
Chin scratching?
Yes, indeed. Rude Italian street gestures. Luckily, you're off camera. All right. We're going to start with the. Give us a call. You know the numbers. 222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code. Outside that area code, it's 800-295-1180 on the Choice One toll-free line. And, of course, Verizon Wireless customers can just come into star 1180, and we'll be happy to take your call.
But we got to say happy Father's Day again to everybody. All the fathers should be just sitting home, relaxing with their feet up.
And, yes, we should. What are we doing here?
We didn't get the memo. Oh, matter of fact, you know, last week, saying happy Father's Day, you know, and all the listeners and that, which we were telling folks, you know, go to Frapper and register all right. And all that. One of the other folks that I didn't realize listens every week is Mike down in Australia.
Mike.
He literally listens.
That's a heck of a skip.
Yeah, well, you know, because Wham does the live feed. All you got to do is go to
the
Wham.
He's listening live? Wait a minute. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning there or something, isn't it?
Between either that, he tries to listen to it either then or to the the recordings on his iPod. But he loves listening to us.
I'm not entirely certain the way it all works, but Mike, if you are listening right now, I hope it's at the end of a really excellent Saturday night.
I don't know. Well, they're in the next day.
Well,
I'm
checking.
They're
now.
Already into Monday.
It's it's 11 p.m. in Beijing, so I'm bringing up a Sydney clock here.
Yeah.
But at any rate, while Steve tries to figure out whether or not the world is still round, we're gonna move on
Happy
to the news.
Happy Father's Day,
Happy Father's Day. Bill Gates has stepped down or will be stepping down from his full-time role at Microsoft.
Gee, you think he can afford it?
Well, he can. I don't know that Microsoft can. Maybe it can. You know, Microsoft's under a lot of pressure right now. The stock price is sagging. Google is a huge competitor right now. Vista has been delayed for the last, I believe, 11 years.
And could be delayed even more now that Symantec has slapped that lawsuit on them. We were hoping to bring it out in spring, but depending on how the lawsuit goes, who knows?
Yeah, most of the blogs I was reading are asking, why is Steve Ballmer still there? Because any other company, he'd have been fired long ago.
Well, because a lot of this seems to be on him more than on Gates. Yeah. But Gates has announced that over the next 2 years, he'll gradually step away from his daily responsibility. Ray Ozzie will immediately assume the title of Chief Software Architect, and Craig Mundy will immediately take the new title of Chief Research and Strategy Officer. Gates will remain chairman of the board.
Yeah, but
which I thought was Frank Sinatra's. Anyway, the point is that what?
But he's worth $50 billion? Gee, do you think he has to worry about whether he's going to be able to make the mortgage payment or the kids going to school?
Well, here's the thing. He's been... This is what he said, and you got to give him all the credit for this. He's been working part-time for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and full-time for the company that made him the richest man in the world, and now he wants to reverse those priorities. I got to give him all the credit in the world.
No, he does do a lot. I will give him that.
The thing I thought was odd when I'm reading the article, you know, Bill Gates stepping down in July. Oh, okay, 2008. What? Why announce it 2 years ahead of time?
Well, because there's going to be a transition period, because if he just leaves, the stock price takes a tumble. Now it just sort of gradually...
So it can gradually fall for 2 years.
Right. Apparently. and not that we have to feel bad for Microsoft, they net about $1 billion, that's $1 billion with a B, dollars a month. That's what they net. They sell $11 billion worth of product, they net $1 billion a month. A month. A month. A month.
It's not a money in software.
I would take the interest on the interest on the interest.
Yeah.
Off of that. He is the richest person in the world. Net worth is $50 billion.
Well, that's all on paper, though. Stock certificates.
Well, okay.
Yep. Yeah, but still, even to have that number to work with. Yeah.
Right.
Hello.
But that's the other thing. Don't forget now that he's actually not going to be the number one day-to-day guy. He can sell his stock if he wants to. It's not going to have as huge an impact on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And legally, he can do it easier. So, you know, for him, it's a good deal.
Yep.
Possibly for us. Call in. Let us know what you think of this, whether it's a good deal, a bad deal, an in-between deal. What do you think the future of Microsoft is going to be? We'd like to hear from you. So give us a call. In the meantime, we'll talk to John from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yes, I have Windows XP. I got a new computer, and I have a problem with the pointer. When I put it over a link, it automatically selects it. I guess it's called hovering. How do I undo that?
That's a preference for the desktop to point instead of clicking. I didn't know. The same preference happened inside browsers.
I'm wondering if he's also got the sensitivity of the mouse set too high.
When you say hovering over a link, you mean in your web browser?
It could be even on going to anything on in Windows XP. I don't have to be online.
The links are only websites online. If you're hovering over an icon on your desktop and it opens, that's a preference.
Yeah.
You go into desktop properties, there's a preference in there to hover, single click, or double click.
Yep.
And most people traditionally have double clicked. But once you know what you're doing, you can set that lower, and it's a hair faster to just point instead of actually...
Right. But it sounds like yours got set that way. So right-click on your desktop, any place on your background, and you'll see a drop-down menu, select Properties, and it's in there.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. At 14 minutes after the hour, it's the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
You guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes, folks, you missed James Brown at the Jazz Fest.
Welcome back. At 19 minutes after the hour, we're all feeling good on Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is
Soundbites. Saw him in concert when he was in town, sat right next to Mayor Duffy. And
He did? Why wasn't he up on stage? Sat next to Mayor Duffy.
I sat next to Mayor Duffy.
I was confused there for just that one moment.
Yeah, I thought James Brown sat next to Mayor Duffy.
No, never mind.
Now that we got Rob totally confused.
Did you see Jackie Chan in the tuxedo?
Yes.
James Brown had a great scene in there where Jackie accidentally beat him up and then had to go out on stage.
All right. Before we get back to the phones, there is, for those of you who are still using Excel instead of OpenOffice, there is a zero-day attack that has been confirmed by Microsoft. A new undocumented flaw in Excel is being used in an attack. And basically what a zero-day attack means is the day they found out about it, there's already an exploit out there handling it. So it's very possible that you, among other people, have been caught. I commented on this on my blog on the Security Tango website.
McAfee's already got a fix for it.
And they all had fixes out within about 24 hours.
Yeah,
so
it was kind of a takeoff update on one that was, I want to say about 8 years ago, that they had one. Remember, Word documents and the Word template plate was getting attacked. It's more or less the same thing.
Right. It's the same idea. It's because it's a programmable product. Symantec, McAfee, most of the others have already added signature detections to get rid of it. The problem is this attack can be easily modified to bypass the signature. So we're going to be playing leapfrog for a while. If you're still one of those people using Excel, you need to be incredibly careful. For those of us who have switched to OpenOffice.org, of course, we don't care. We're going to go back to the phones.
Well, hang on a second. We need to make a correction. The single-click, double-click, hover preference isn't in the desktop preferences. You said it was in the mouse preferences?
Yeah, it's in the mouse preferences.
I'm still trying to find the a link to it to post.
All right. We'll in the meantime, we'll go to Mike from Chi-Li, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Happy Father's Day, gentlemen.
You
Thank
too.
You.
I do a lot of online financial things, pay bills, things like that.
Right.
Simple stuff. And every once in a while, I keep getting this error establishing an encrypted connection, and then it gives me an error code. And I use XP. It's a fairly new computer, about a year old. And I use Zone Alarm and Norton and things like that. So, and I have a firewall. Why would I keep getting this message? And once I click OK, then the page will open up and I can go about my business.
I'm wondering how the settings
in
Norton.
I mean, sorry. What before we go there? What program are you using? What browser?
Mozilla.
Okay.
Firefox.
Well, which one, Mozilla or Firefox?
Firefox.
What's likely happening is there are security certificates that are embedded in the browser that prove that you are at a secure website. Sometimes they get out of sync or a certificate expires and the other end has renewed it. It was a huge mess. Was it last January? It's like December 31st, 2005, everyone's certificates expired. So January 1st, no one could get secure sites.
Yeah, that was just the end of the year.
So generally, if you wait a few days, the other end will update that certificate. What may be happening and what you got to keep an eye on is when you get an error establishing a secure connection, if you click OK, it'll continue on with an unsecure connection.
Okay.
So
you want to make
sure
that little padlock shows up in the corner that you're on a secure site if you're doing any banking and stuff.
All right.
The other thing is, you want to look in Firefox. Depending on which version you have, it's under Tools, Options, Advanced, or it's under Edit Preferences. There's a section on validation and something called OCSP. Mm-hmm. Make sure you check. Do not use OCSP for certificate validation.
All right.
OCSP stands for Online Certificate Status Protocol. Most sites don't use it.
And also,
so
in
if you've
Norton,
got it set up, it's going to try to use it and can't, and then you're done.
In the Norton security also, I know a couple of folks were having problems when they did a couple of the updates that it set it tweaked the security and encryption a little higher. So you might want to double check that. I mean, it can make it so tight that, you know, it's questioning everything and anything. Whereas, you know, the banking, yes, you want it to do that. Some of the other websites, who gives?
And you also want to make sure you download the latest version of Firefox, which is 1.5.0.4.
I have
That would contain newer security certificates if the problem is at your end.
Right.
All right. I went to the verification and it clicked on use OCSP to validate only certificates that specify an OCSP service URL.
Perfect.
Good.
Perfect. Then you're good.
I'm all right with that.
Yep.
The other thing I would suggest you do is definitely dance the security tango. It may be that the problem is you're going to some websites, you're getting forwarded to some websites that don't have certificates, and they're fake. So make sure you've got that right. And the other thing it could be simply is it could be a glitch in either the system at the other end or in the connection between the two of you. If it happens intermittently, that's likely the problem. Mm-hmm. If it happens all the time, start with the tango. All right. Our next caller.
Well, actually, let's make a correction to our correction.
Uh-oh.
We're getting to be like Gates.
Well, I haven't found an actual link for Microsoft yet, but I found where the answer is. To change your Windows from single-clicking, from double-clicking icons to clicking and hovering, it's in Windows Explorer, under Tools, under Folder Options, under General.
Okay.
Oh, all right. That makes no sense.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
No sense whatsoever, but okay. I apologize. I'm actually running a Linux laptop today, and so I couldn't look it up myself. All right. Our next caller is John from Chi-Li, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. A great show.
Thank you.
Yeah. My son has a Dell Dimension 4700, and we're having trouble running, and we have Windows XP Home, and we're having trouble running the Windows XP Tour in the animated version. Any thoughts?
How much memory did this Dell come with?
It's got an 80 gig hard drive, 512 meg of RAM.
Okay. How much video memory, or is it shared with your main memory?
I don't know.
Is the video on the motherboard, you know, did it...
Yeah, it's integrated into the motherboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the problem. Most of the time, those things, it's a business, they call it a business desktop, and so they don't spend a lot of time on a lot of money on things like video RAM. It's not designed for games. It's not designed for video of any sort.
It makes it cheaper.
You can solve this problem by adding a separate video card with, say, 128 meg or more of RAM on it. But other than that, you're done. We have to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco at 27 minutes after the hour. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers, but then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 32 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
And
all right.
What?
And what?
And what else?
Oh, and it's 89 degrees under hazy skies in Rochester, New York. Happy now?
At 11:33.
I already did that. It's 11:33.
Yeah. And it's 1:30 a.m. Monday morning in Sydney.
Mike is actually not listening. The stream apparently is down. The stream is run by the folks at Wham, so they'll get it up as soon as they can, I'm sure, but right now it's down. Before we get back to the phones, MacBooks. A little interesting problem with MacBooks. Some users have reported that the palm rest area, the touchpad, and the mouse pad in their new white MacBooks have begun to discolor. Apple support forums are reporting moderate to severe discoloration near the palm rest and other locations of their new white MacBooks. The cause of the discoloration isn't clear. A lot of users are speculating that it might be heat. Some think it might be due to the cleanliness of the user's hands. Could be a chemical reaction of the plastic to the user's body chemistry. Who knows? Apple has not officially confirmed the issue yet. Removing it, however, is very difficult. A lot of things don't work. iClean, that whole line of products, Windex, the Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, a little bit, not so much. Heat seems like the least likely culprit. The battery and the hard drive are under the palm rest area, although they do heat up pretty nicely. Who knows what's causing it? Nobody's confirmed it. Lots of laptops have that problem. Lots of laptops get that way.
I've seen some really filthy laptops that come in 2 or 3 years later.
Right. Sometimes it's filth. Sometimes it's just that the top layer of not paint, but whatever, has been rubbed off and you're seeing the underlying color. Who knows what causes
it? There is an issue with some of the MacBooks overheating. During manufacturing, the manufacturing plants, they put little plastic strips on some of the exposed surfaces to prevent dust from getting into the computer while they're assembling it. Some of the models apparently are coming with those little plastic strips not removed. So take a look at the heat vent on the back of your MacBook and see if it's blocked and pull that little plastic strip out.
What they need to do for both Macs and PCs, I mean, this goes for both, because people are very guilty of doing it, is some type of condom to go over the keyboard.
They have those. You can buy those.
That's the iScan makes them.
But they should come standard, because I get so many computer laptops in, because they are portable.
Spilled.
People love to take them, say, in front of the TV or whatever, or at the dinner table, and they eat over them.
Crumbs are terrible.
The amount of food that I can pound out of a keyboard and a laptop is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
We had a week a couple of months ago where we had a rash of wine spills. It's the higher class of people that buy
you
Macs,
personally,
I guess.
Or,
in our shop,
I had dried spaghetti under wine.
Spaghetti, yeah. One of our customers, apparently their cat, took an immediate dislike to their brand new computer and christened it several times.
Oh, I had a desktop.
I love cats, but I'm not sure that my cat would, any of my cats would
I had a desktop one that we worked on, a couple weeks ago, and we couldn't figure out what it was. And the client came in and said, oh yeah, I knew about that because we were telling him how it was discolored and kind of corroded in there. And he said, yeah, his cats went up to it and decided to use as a receptacle.
Yeah.
And here we're in there touching it. And it's like, oh!
Yeah, exactly.
My computer doesn't work. What happened? Nothing.
Yeah.
Your computer doesn't work because a cat peed on it, jerk. No. But how do you say that politely?
Exactly.
Yeah. At any rate, you're right. They should have some sort of... Well, laptops, at least you can close the cover, theoretically, when you're done
people,
with them. But people don't.
The amount of keyboards, like I say, we can sit there, and the abuse. I just had one in. It was an IBM ThinkPad. The hinge was broken on it. The four arrow keys, the up, the down, the left, the right, were missing. And then the hinge was still on it, and they still are worried about it, you know, being able to use it.
When it's,
if you took better care of it.
We had one come in, the entire back corner was bashed to smithereens.
What happened?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Why?
Yeah. Well, and what a lot of people won't accept is abuse, accidental or otherwise, isn't covered under warranty.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not.
You know, warranty is mechanical
defects.
But
this particular one, did you ever see the movie Jumbo? Billy Rose's Jumbo? It's a comedy.
Yep.
Jimmy Durante's in it, and there's one point at which he's stealing the elephant from the bad guys.
Yep.
And he walks out, and he's leading the elephant on this rope, and the bad guys stop and say, where are you going with the elephant? And he looks at them and says, what elephant?
Yeah.
And that flashes into my mind every time I say to somebody, what happened to this? Nothing. Why? Yeah, okay, fine.
Apparently some users are reporting that nail polish remover is helping with the discoloration, which is probably eating the plastic away that's discolored.
Yeah. Well, it's acetone.
Yeah.
The best thing people say to do is put some like clear plastic cling wrap over it and work on that. Or of course, scrub your hands to surgical cleanliness before you touch your machine.
Or wear rubber gloves.
Keep a set of gloves.
Or you can get some of the fabulous iSkin keyboard protectors that we happen to sell in our stuff. Little rubber protector. I love their demos in the trade shows where they have the water pouring on top of the running computer.
Right.
Yep.
Which even then you cringe.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Bob, patiently waiting on a cell phone. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I know I'm probably the last person in Rochester to buy a computer, but I bought my first laptop, very high-end HP.
Congratulations.
Enjoying it very much. I've only had it for about a month, and before that, clueless about computers, learning a lot and enjoying it very much.
Good.
Wondering how I did without it, but a lot of it I'm doing on my own and having great success. I ran into a little problem, though. I took in my F drive, which is a DVD drive. I burned a whole bunch of movie clips, basically a two-hour movie, a homemade movie, into my C drive or where it was stored. Now, for fun, I went into the properties on C, and I copied down how much memory or whatever you call it was before I did it.
Disk space.
Right, and I was at 60.1, I think, gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Added it in there, checked it again, and I was down to, I think, 32.1. Successfully burned it off the computer onto a blank CD for a friend. Went to delete it, according to, what I've read, I deleted it properly, but I went back into my properties on the C drive, and instead of being back at 60.1 when I deleted it...
You're still at 32.
Not 60.1. It was 40.1, and... Now I'm only up to 38.1. I'm like 2 gigabytes shy of what it was before I did the program.
Well, there's a couple of things that will cause that. One is if you deleted it, but it's still in the trash.
Okay.
If you empty the trash, recycle bin, if you empty that, you could gain the space back.
There's the disk cleanup wizard that looks through your trash and your temp files and your cache files and deletes all those.
There could also be a log file of that session.
Yeah.
That can be, that it keeps track of everything as it's doing it. That could be easily that big since the file was that big.
And sometimes Windows just isn't good about emptying its caches out.
Yeah, that's what somebody said. I did empty the trash, though. What else can I do to
run the disk cleanup wizard? Right click on your hard drive and go to tools, yep. And one of them is the cleanup wizard.
All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. At 41 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
Must mean I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Now, normally we would read another news item, but we've got to talk to Amy from Rochester. Welcome, Amy. What's going on?
I wanted to call and wish my dad a happy Father's Day.
There you go. Happy Father's Day.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey, hold on. All right, guys. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, kids.
Father's Day.
Oh, that's my grandchildren, Leanne, Taylor, and Ryan.
Very nice.
Does that mean you get a second round when it's Grandfather's Day?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Actually, cool. Leanne said she did want to say, she's like, no, it's Happy Papa's Day.
Yeah, they call me Papa.
No,
yeah,
he's I'm Papa. Papa.
Yeah.
We wanted to surprise you and wish you a happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you, honey.
I love you.
Love you, too.
All right.
Bye.
You guys have fun.
Thanks.
Bye.
We will. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was sweet.
That was very sweet. All right. Oh. Now we'll read the news.
Looks like, where was it? September 7th is Grandfather's Day.
There you go. There have been recent accusations of inhumane work conditions in an iPod manufacturing plant in China. Apple has been taken to task for this, and they have decided that they will be investigating what's going on. They say they do not tolerate any violations of suppliers' code of conduct. Recent news suggests that workers in iPod factories in China are being treated as if they were slaves, were being asked to work 15 hours a day, paid $50 a month. And these factories are located in Shanghai and in Hong Kong. Apple has stated it's committed to ensuring that working conditions in their supply chain are safe, workers are treated with respect and dignity, and manufacturing processes are environmentally responsible. They are investigating. They say their code says that work week should be restricted to 60 hours a week, and that suppliers may not discriminate against any worker based on race, color, age, or gender.
One of the almost annoying things that doesn't quite make it much better is a lot of the media seems to be focusing on Apple because the iPod is so popular. But this is apparently very common in Chinese factories. And $50 a month is really good pay in China.
Right.
When you have so many billions of displaced people. In fact, the Three River Gorges project where they're damming the Yangtze River displaced 1 million people and are destroying 10,000 villages. Some of them 10,000 years old.
Yep.
And $50 a month is a lot of money. We've talked in the past about the telephone tech support being migrated out to India, where they make $100 a month, live in the capital city, and send half their money home to their family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's economies of scale. It's and $50 a month is a lot of money in China.
Yeah, plus with the Olympics too, that's been great for the economy there too. Right?
Yeah, there was a lot of concern there about more publicity on the Chinese workers with the Olympics coming and the world is going to see. You know, we got 1 billion people. What do we do with them?
Just alone on the it was the History Channel talking about them and Discovery did a great. Expose on building the the whole thing around the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of these buildings are unbelievable when you go to see them.
People do a lot of building up of their cities when they get the Olympics. They expect so much money to come in tourism that they spend a lot of money getting ready for that.
But the problem that they were having is one of the venues is literally. Is right down where old traditional China. I mean, they had to get permission and everything else from these other leaders,
right,
to build down in this area because it's like this one area had been protected,
right?
From anything new because it's old historical China that they're literally putting this other new building in there. And some of these buildings, like I say, the computers that they use to design them is unbelievable.
Right.
Interlinked.
cool.
It's an interesting article in a Chinese newspaper, an English version of a Chinese newspaper, to see how their response to the world criticism is. We're giving them free housing. We're giving them a lot of money. What's wrong with that?
All right, we'll leave international debate to others. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. At 50 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. All right, before we get back to the phones, we should note that sources... I love this story. I don't even care if it's true. Sources have leaked information about a Microsoft-branded iPod, and I quote, killer, unquote. Microsoft's new music player reportedly can play both audio and video. Insiders, who work for Microsoft, say the video is better quality than the video iPod, and the service is better than iTunes. Because it's not just a player, it's also an iTunes rival. Microsoft is planning to develop a music and video device to compete with Apple's iPod and a music service to rival Apple's iTunes. You know, if it was anybody else, we'd just say, yeah, good luck. Yeah. Who cares? But Microsoft, I don't know. It could happen. You never know. At least something will come out as to whether or not it would take over. Who knows? Microsoft has so far fiercely opposed the rumors that it was partnering with a consumer electronic company in Japan to launch an iPod killer. The only real clue that this is happening came in a conference hosted by the Wall Street Journal, where Gates said there is such a rumor when asked if the company is going to roll out a music player. We don't even know what that means. According to Reuters News Service, sources close to Microsoft say Robbie Bach, who's the young rising star who headed the Xbox video game business, will oversee this project. And the whole point, of course, is to take a bite out of Apple. Microsoft's, of course, already dabbled in digital music, most recently by providing copyright protection framework for MTV's Urge Download service. But a Microsoft-branded M-Pod, they're calling it now.
There's a lawsuit really waiting for it.
Yeah, right. Well, no, that's what, you know, people are just referring to it that way. And M-Pod and M-Tunes. If they did that, it would completely be a reversal of their plan, which up to now has been to partner with tech companies and let them do the work with its own branded service. Though, you know, they've already got instant recognition. So who knows? Who knows? It's not a huge surprise that they might be doing it, but who knows? Yeah. You know, it's an interesting question. We'll see what that brings. We'll keep you informed. We'll see what not only it costs, but what you get for it, and what the restrictions are. You know, how many times you can make copies. You know, there are those of us who are in the open source side of things, the unreasonable fanatics that we are, who think even Apple's stuff is way too restrictive. But we'll see what Microsoft comes out with. And back to the phones now. We're going to talk to Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning, fellas. Really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Hey, very simple question. You know, when you're swapping out these peripheral devices through the USB port, whether it's a jump drive or a floppy drive, and if you click on it and ask it permission to close it out, sometimes the program you're running will say, well, the device is busy right now. Try stopping later. I mean, do you really have to close out the program that you're working on in order to get permission from Bill Gates to unplug the device, or is it okay just to unplug it?
I have had problems unplugging devices that had not closed out properly. Here's the deal, Steve. It depends on what the device is, but basically the way it works is this. When you write to any device, whether it's a hard drive or a USB drive or whatever, Windows doesn't really write to the drive. It writes it to a buffer, and then later on, at its leisure, actually writes out to the drive. The reason for that is you get your keyboard and mouse and control back sooner, so you get a snappier user experience. But what that means is what you think is on the drive may not really be on the drive until that buffer gets flushed. They call it flushing the buffer, which writes it actually out to the device, which happens in the background in its own sweet time.
Yeah, that could be a 10, 15-second delay in there.
Now,
or
right,
more.
Or more. Now, normally, when you actually right-click on a device and say eject it, the theory is it's supposed to write it immediately. Now, all the operating systems do this. Linux does it. The Mac does it. Everybody does it. But when you right-click on it, it's supposed to write it immediately, close out the device, remove it from the list so you can pull it out safely. In Windows, for some reason, sometimes that just simply doesn't happen, and I don't honestly know why. But yes, if it doesn't say you can remove it, don't remove it.
You can damage the disk. You can lose files that are on that disk.
More importantly, the next drive you plug in, it thinks it's the old drive and may write out a new directory structure, or rather the old directory structure from the old device. Now you've screwed up two devices.
And I've had folks trying to do that, and the original file is on, their jump drive, and they quit in between while it's writing it. Now the whole file is totally trashed.
Right.
Even though they're trying to overwrite the original file, and now...
Yeah, so the bottom line is yes, if it says it's busy, don't eject it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But so, yeah, make sure you you eject those devices. That means when you're in a hurry, you know, you have to think twice. You got to be much more careful because otherwise you could seriously damage not only that device, but lose all the files on it and maybe even lose the files on the next device you plug in. Because it thinks it's the old device. We're going to take a quick break because we're old devices and we need the rest. But we'll be back in just King of the Bad Segways. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and with each and every one of you at 59 minutes in after the hour, 90 degrees under still somewhat hazy skies. You're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM at 90 degrees under still hazy but turning into cornflower blue skies.
It's going to be hot, 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 hot.
It's gorgeous out there. They don't tell us what the humidity is, though.
Anybody wants to come over and cut my grass for me, just give a call in. I'm not going to do it.
Sure, bring over a couple of sheep.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about what happens at our website. That's soundbites.org. Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about your operating system. Remember, we talked about how Microsoft is ending support for almost every operating system they've ever made. So I thought we'd take a little poll about what operating system you have. 438 of you voted, making it number 21 in the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you. Not surprisingly, the winner was Windows XP, 66% of the votes, followed by Linux, followed by the Macintosh, followed by Windows 2000, then Windows 98. Only 18 people are still running Windows ME.
I'm working
every
on
one
them.
Of them calls in every week. Three people still using Windows 95. You must have mailed in your entry to somebody with a working computer. Two people using NT and two people using something else. This week's poll is about Bill Gates stepping down. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Bill Gates is in fact stepping down from the day-to-day running of his company. He's going to take 2 years to transition out. So the question is, you know, Bill Gates is stepping down. How do you feel about this? And the choices are yay, hooray, big deal, that's too bad, oh noes, the Linux and the Macintosh so far. We've got about 66 votes, 39 of you, 59% think it's a big deal, who cares? 14% of you think that's too bad. 9% of you are thrilled. 6 people voted for the Macintosh, 4 for Linux, and 2 people said, oh, noes! When you're done with that, at the bottom of that page, you'll see a little yellow box, yellowish box. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. That takes you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
Ding.
Ding, yeah, he's not there. Where you can actually enter in your opinion, because I know that you people are way beyond just clicking on boxes. You need to enter your opinions as well. So far, we've got 9 people who've entered their opinions, 1 or 2 of which actually has something to do with the question, which is an interesting and an unusual thing for us. As long as you're there, please take a look around my website. Check out what my newsletter has. Check out my reviews and my forums. When you're done, please come back to Soundbites, the Soundbites website. You'll see the greatest people in the known universe hang out at our forums. They're terrific. They're nice. They're nice folks. Lots of other interesting and cool things there on the Soundbites website. Also, don't forget, I might as well mention it, I write a blog at securitytango.com. Go there and click on Nick's blog, and you'll see that I write a security-related blog when the mood strikes me.
There you go.
Really is how that works. So join us online for all of those things. But in the meantime, we're here for you on the air. Our next caller is Ron from Albion, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In the mornings, when I boot up my PC, over the last week and a half, I get this message from the virus scan, McAfee virus scan, says PUP found. And it goes on and says, gives you the path as to where it is. And it says it cannot be removed. So I'm wondering, is this something I should try to remove myself? Or how do you go about taking care of something like this?
Well,
I think it's part of, are you also running AdAware?
Yes.
Well, PUP can be, you said you're running McAfee. It can be a generic acronym for a potentially unwanted program. And there's
correct.
Also a PUP virus.
Yeah. But quite often, McAfee, though, confuses parts of a AdAware as a PUP. Because
right.
you see it come in as, you know, oh, it's concerned
what's the,
about this.
What's the file name at the end of that path?
It says C colon system volume information restore, and then it gives like a little bracket and then a whole bunch of numbers, 086.
Yeah, all right. You need to run the Security Tango.
Yeah, and turn off those restore files because something's hiding in there.
Yeah, what happens is in a lot of cases nowadays, just running an antivirus program is not enough.
Right.
You need to do a whole bunch of other things. That's why we put together the Security Tango. You go to Security Tango website, click on the Let's Dance button, print it out, follow the whole thing step by step by step, and including at the end, writing to Lori Lynch and grabbing a sheet from her. And what happens is at the end of that, you have done the Security Tango. One of the steps is to turn off System Restore. Now, when you turn off System Restore, you can no longer go back to a previous point. That's normally bad. In this case, it's good because those previous points are infected. You don't want to go back to them ever.
And once the tango is done, you turn it back on.
And you may need to run some of these software in safe mode, which prevents the virus from running. What could be happening is if it is the PUP virus, it can't be deleted because it's running already. So you have to run it in safe mode so it's not running so you can delete it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right, and that's actually one of the steps in the Security Tango.
But the place to start is the Security Tango.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'll tell you what. Our answers here have gotten a lot shorter ever since I put up that Tango site.
Yeah.
It's mostly just go to Tango, follow the steps. You ought
there
to be good. And that's the main reason I set it up. We all got tired of, first you download this and then that and then something else. So by putting the Tango up, we made it a lot easier for us and hopefully for you too. Our next caller is Ray from Brockport, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Yes. First of all, how do you start your computer in a safe mode? Or will it tell me that in the security
when it's booting up, if you keep hitting the F8 key.
F8?
You keep hitting the F8 key, and you'll get a screen. And you'll be given a bunch of options, and the first one is safe mode.
Okay. It's a timing issue. You have to hit the F8 key after the computer powers on, but before the Windows logo comes up and starts booting.
Yeah, just keep hitting the F8 and you should get it.
Okay.
And that is actually explained in the Tango on the Tango page.
Okay, good. Now, my real question was, I do my banking online because I have to check my, I have to balance my checkbook a couple times a month.
I do mine a couple of times a day.
I go on, I copy my statement, and then when I paste it onto a Word document so that I can print it out, it it looks more like a paragraph than a bank statement.
Right.
Right.
Your bank doesn't allow you to print from there?
Pardon?
Your bank doesn't allow you to print it from
directly from the web page.
Yeah, from the web page?
I don't know. I never really noticed that.
You should be able to go up to the file menu, select print, and print that whole page.
And it'll print it as it appears on the screen.
Oh, okay. But it seems to be changing my format.
Well, yeah, the problem is the HTML formatting isn't a word processing document.
Yeah.
There's code in there to make all those columns line up.
Okay.
So you'd have to manually re-enter those codes in your word processor, either setting tab stops or putting in one quick
carriage
trick.
Return.
Well, one quick trick is to change the font to
Courier.
A non-breaking or a monospaced font. So a lot of times what they do on websites is you hit space a bunch of times to make things line up. That doesn't work in word processors because spaces are never the same width. The justification commands control that.
The other thing that you can do is set up as a printer, create a new printer. And say you want it to just be plain text and print to a file. Then you can say file print and print right to a text document and call it, you know, statement January.txt or whatever it is.
Right.
And then you can import that in, and that should put in the spaces correctly for you in a monospaced font. But it would be a whole lot easier if you can just say file print and print it the way you want it right off the website.
Yeah, check the website and, you know, and the banking.
What happens a lot of times with websites is you'll get all the ads and web navigation buttons. So many websites have a printable version button somewhere.
You got to go down to the bottom of the page sometimes.
Sometimes it's on the bottom. Sometimes it's just an icon that you have to know what the meaning is.
Double check that, though.
Right. All right. All right. Our next caller, Bert from Palmyra, New York. Welcome, Bert. What's your question?
Hey, great show as always, guys.
Thank you.
I'm looking into picking up a laptop for doing fleet maintenance field service work. I was wondering if any of you have any experience with the Panasonic Toughbooks.
I have not specifically used the Toughbook, but the Panasonic line I have used, and I'm very impressed with them.
And the Toughbook is specifically designed with thicker plastic and heavier rubber edging.
And durability is built into that. You know, I mean, it's... You know, they test it to take, you know, drops and everything
else. It'll cost a little more, but when you're driving around in a truck all day and dropping it who knows how many times.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, that version's also sealed against accidental dust and dirt and all that
and
stuff.
And definitely get the extended warranty. On laptops is one thing I always tell folks, don't skimp there because you'd be shocked to, you know what it costs to just, say, replace the display. You know, can sometimes cost as much as the
computer. Going back to what we mentioned earlier, most of the extended warranties don't cover accidental abuse. So if you drop it and the screen cracks or run over it with your truck and the screen cracks, that's not covered under warranty.
Right. On the other hand, the whole point behind the Toughbook is that you should be able to drop it and run it over with your truck.
Yeah.
But at any rate, always get the extended warranty on a laptop, particularly in this situation. But the Toughbook is a pretty neat little product, and I am a fan of
a picture of them pouring water on it.
There you go.
Spill resistant.
There you go. And I'm a fan of the Panasonic products to begin with, so I suspect the Toughbook is a terrific little buy. So go for it, Bert. Our next caller is Lance on a cell phone. Lance, you're pulled over to the side of the road, right?
I'm curious how you know it's a cell phone.
I can hear it.
We are good.
Actually, the great Rob Linton tells us when you call, he either asked you or he's hooked into the spy satellite.
Yeah, your GPS has popped up on his screen. He knows what
street
you're on.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that the phone, because, you know, somebody calls him and says, I'd like to, you know, and it cuts in and out. You know what I mean? That's a cell phone. Either that or a really bad cordless phone.
Actually, I'm parked in a friend's driveway.
See, there you go. As long as it's a friend, you're all right.
question was, well, so my wife is in visiting her.
There you go.
Question on Firefox.
Yeah.
And I sign in on one or two websites, well, one in particular, and they have their programs archived so I can listen to them.
Yeah.
When I click on listen, the thing wrecks up a fatal error. The program terminates. Now, my older version of Firefox on my Toshiba will listen to it okay.
What player is it playing in, or what type of audio file is it? You may need to reinstall the player for that audio file.
Right. The problem is with all of these programs, they use helper files to actually do the work. And if your new version doesn't have that helper file installed, then you're going to have a problem.
But or the
if you
install
go to,
got corrupted yeah, somehow.
Right. If That's you go to Tools and click on Extensions, you can see which extensions are in there. That it might be that. Without knowing what type of file it is, it's hard to tell you how to fix the problem.
Right, if it's an MP3 file or a WMA file.
I have listened to it before, months ago, and I think it's since I reinstalled the latest version of Firefox.
Right, so you may need to reinstall all those bits and pieces. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 19 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this at 24 minutes after the hour is Soundbites. All right. One more little setback for Microsoft. Not only is Bill Gates stepping down, but a U.S. appeals court has upheld a ruling that Microsoft's Office software infringes on a Guatemalan inventor's technology. Microsoft's method of linking its Access database and Excel spreadsheets infringes on a technology that was patented by Carlos Armando Amato. This ruling signals the validity of that patent, confirms Microsoft's liability of infringement. Doesn't say here the award hasn't quite happened yet, but there is an escrow account. What happened was the U.S. court actually ruled on this last year sometime and awarded Mr. Amato $6.1 million. Of course, Microsoft immediately...
I wonder how much he got versus the lawyers.
Well, nothing yet. Nobody got anything because Microsoft immediately appealed. So that money went into an escrow account that now has more than $65 million in it. So I'm not entirely certain. So maybe Mr. Amato will get his $6 million after the lawyers take their piece. This is just another little setback for Microsoft. I'm sure it's, you know, $65 million. They make $1 billion a month in profit. So I don't think they're even going to notice this, but it's a tiny little setback. Now we're back to the phones. Our next caller is George from, not George. What are you saying no for? What? Eric? We're going to talk to Eric instead? Okay, all Eric. Right, yeah. One of us has to learn how to work this thing, and I suspect it should be you.
Sorry, George. We'll get to you in a minute. Yeah.
Sorry, George. Hold on. Apparently, I'm the idiot today. Eric, what's your question?
Thanks, guys. I blame it on Rob, but anyway.
Who doesn't?
I have a Windows XP computer with Windows XP Home and a Macintosh MacBook with the latest version of the Mac OS on it, and I'm trying to network the two, and I'm able to see my shared folders from my PC, the shared folders that are on my Mac. I'm able to see those, and I'm able to network my PC with other PCs in my house, but I can't access the PC from my Mac. I get an error when I try to open the network connection that my username and password is incorrect, and I'm using the username and password that's set up on my Windows account.
Case significant and no punctuation or spaces?
I've tried all different permutations of that.
Are you doing an ad hoc user-to-user network, or do you have an actual server somewhere in the mix?
No, it's just through, like, my router.
All right. So the one thing you have to make sure is that you're all in the same work group.
And that,
we are.
That has been a problem because the old Windows systems defaulted to work group, and new Windows systems are MS Home, and I think the Mac still defaults to work group.
My work group is a different name than all of those, and I've confirmed that it is the same on all of them.
Okay, now here's one other question that sounds so weird. Do any of your systems where you've set up how they're networked and what the group name is and all that stuff, there's a field for comment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have comment in any of those?
Not in the XP one.
Well, sometimes that makes it not work.
That makes it not work.
But he said all the PCs are seeing it. It's only the Mac.
Right.
The Mac can't see the PC.
Now, are you browsing the network, or are you typing the address on the Mac?
On the Mac, I've tried to type the computer name and the shared folder. I've also tried to type the IP address of the PC and the shared folder.
And you're using the SMB ?/?
Exactly.
To tell it's an SMB server.
Yep.
Well, and it's connecting to the machine. It's bringing up the login window, and you're putting in the workgroup username and password. And then it tells you the password is wrong.
It says password or username, yeah. And I've tried from the Mac, I've pinged the IP address of the PC, and I do get a response. So I can tell
it sounds like it's trying to connect. If it's bringing up the login screen.
Yeah, and from his PC, he said he can get to the Mac.
Yeah, you're absolutely sure that the username and password are right. Try creating a new user on the PC and see if you can log into that user.
Just and make sure
something
you give
like
that
test.
User access to those files. Yeah. That's the other thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I've looked at several tutorials and things that kind of say how to do this, and they all seem pretty consistent. And
it sounds like you're doing all the right stuff, Eric. The real problem here is it's got to be some little tiny thing that unless...
Is the error message correct and your username and password are wrong? Or is the error message incorrect and it thinks... encrypted passwords. What operating system are you running on the PCs?
It's
XP Home.
Okay, so it's not that.
There is a problem with
2003 server requiring signed and encrypted passwords, and the Mac doesn't support that yet. So you have to turn that off on your XP machine.
Yeah, no, I've XP Home. The other thing I did notice, my username on my, I only actually have one account on my XP, my machine I'm trying. And when I log in to my machine, the username shows as owner, but that's not actually my username.
You need to use the new username that shows up on the PC.
Okay, maybe that's...
There you go.
Yeah, you're logging into the PC, you got to use the username on the PC. Well, and there's also a confusion between username and computer name.
Yeah.
When you're setting up your PC, you give it different names, and the username might be something like Compact 2749 and random numbers too.
Mm-hmm. When I've tried the name owner, and I've also tried my actual username, but I don't know when I log into my PC, should I log in as my username or owner? Because when I log in,
that shouldn't matter.
Okay.
Well, it has to be logged in as the actual username in Windows. Whatever that username actually is.
So you log into your machine every day and you give it a username and password.
Well, the default username is owner, and if I put in my password, if I don't put in my password for my only username, which is Eric, then it doesn't work. So if I put in the password for my username Eric, even though the username says owner, I can still log in, but I can't log in without that. So I was assuming that it was just associating. Because it's the only account and it's the main.
No,
you have two usernames.
You have two usernames with the same password. So you definitely want to try logging in as owner from the Mac. And make sure that you have the right case. Because sometimes owner is all uppercase. It depends on who built your system. Owner could be all uppercase, could be all lowercase, could be capital O. You have to make sure the case is correct.
Right.
So give those things a try and let us know.
And verify the username in the user's control panel and
right.
make sure which username you actually think you're logging into.
Right.
But that's always confusing. When someone's logging into a server, it asks for a username and password, and they type their username and password. No, it has to be the username and password at the other end.
Right. And that's often a problem that we have at our IT. There's the username and password that we give them on our system. There's the username and password they get on our corporate email, the university email. If they've been on some other system, they might have a different username. We're trying to correct all that, but yeah. there are people who still have several usernames and passwords, and they get confused as to which is which.
And that's what most Windows IT people do in corporate settings, is they make all those the same so the user doesn't have to worry about it.
Right.
But then that's a security issue because they're all the same.
Well, yeah. Even with single logon, suddenly you get one password and you own everything that person owns.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's an interesting problem. Our next caller is George from Penfield, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
I got a startup problem. Once I get rid of the, I'm running.
It's tough to get up in the morning. Things ache. You take
sore,
a little
cranky.
Time.
You've been there. You know what I mean.
George, yeah. I feel your pain and mine. Go ahead. What's your question?
Okay, I'm running XP Home on Roadrunner. Now, once I come from a cold start. Once the Windows logo disappears. I get this little window that says Windows is starting up, and that thing sits there for, 5 minutes without doing a thing. Then I get the little login window. I click on that, and I come up to my desktop, and it takes another 3 minutes or so before I can get it to work, and then everything works fine.
How much memory is in that machine?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't really know.
Sounds like it's low on memory, 256. Windows XP needs a minimum of 512 meg.
Well, this is something that suddenly happened like.
It could be too many things trying to launch in the background.
Yeah.
And check your startup group to see what's in there.
Did you by any chance install the Norton Security Suite?
Yes.
There you go.
That's the problem.
I love it when I'm right.
Yeah.
Wait,
Magic
thing?
8-Ball says, Norton Security Suite.
Get rid of that?
You got it.
Yeah. What happens is the Norton Security Suite runs 600 or 800 programs, I think it is.
Yeah,
possibly
it's
gotta
be.
A couple fewer than that, in the background at startup. Most of them are unnecessary on a regular basis. You absolutely want the antivirus. There's no question of that.
Well,
you
need another antivirus program.
Then you don't need that. You only want to run one. That could be the other part of the problem.
Yep.
It could be that the two of them are fighting each other for dominance and not giving back the system so that everything else can run.
Sometimes when you're stuck on that starting window screen, if you hit the escape key,
mm-hmm.
you'll see any text messages behind that screen. There may be something back there wanting your attention.
Well, it's putting this, because it's a security suite, it's also, you know, putting up its own firewall. And if you have Windows XP firewall enabled, you know, it's doing double duty.
Yeah, in general, George, and everybody should listen to this. You only want to run one antivirus program in the background and one firewall in the background. More than that is, at best, a waste of your resources. At worst, will bollocks up your machine like you wouldn't believe.
And one other thing that we should add to that is one anti-spyware program.
If it's running in the background, yes.
Yeah, because I've seen folks thinking, well, if I'm running one to block it,
two would be better.
Four.
Four?
Yeah, I had one client doing four.
If all you want to do is run that stuff in the background, you're good to go. But if you actually want to work on that machine at the same time, might not be the best idea you've ever had. So one of each, George. And our recommendation right now, and it's only for right now, is to get rid of the Norton suite.
Yeah,
okay. We're finding people are having a lot of trouble with the newest version.
Especially 2006. It's been remarkable. Folks get it back after we've cleaned that off.
So if I just go in and do a search and find Norton and everything when it shows up?
No, just go into the add remove programs.
Yeah.
And what it'll do is bring up the screen, say you want to modify it. Or you click on the add remove. It'll bring up a screen.
Wait a minute. Add remove, where is that now?
In the control panel under add, there's a thing called add remove programs.
Okay.
And Norton will be listed there. You can click on that, and you can select the things that you want to uninstall.
There'll be several pieces of Norton in there. The internet, the security suite, the live update, anything that says Norton or Symantec in that add remove control panel.
Okay. Okay. All right. right. Anything with Norton, huh?
You got
right.
it.
Yeah, you can just leave the antivirus.
Some of those are tricky, though, with the suites. You can't just install one piece of it. It wants to do the whole suite.
Norton will let you, though, with the this 2006.
Yeah, but you got to know, where if you just keep hitting enter, you get it all.
Yep.
But, yeah, definitely you only need one. And right now we're simply not recommending Norton until they clean up their act a little bit.
It's the Gates. He wanted to take over the world. Now Norton wants to take over your whole desktop.
It's the truth. Our next caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question with my monitor. Recently, when it comes up, I'm running XP.
Yep.
It comes up, and as I get my desktop up, half of it is white. The lower half is white, and the upper half is blue like it should be. That's the first time that ever happened. Is that something with too much software running or what?
It could be a damaged desktop picture. Try changing your desktop picture and see what happens.
Oh, okay.
Or wallpaper, Windows calls it. Matt calls it picture.
All right. That's good. I'll have to try
just change
it. Does it happen only on the desktop or when you run applications as well?
Just on the desktop.
There you go, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I talked to you earlier about every time I come up, I got System 6 coming up on my desktop. It opens up. And I've never been able to solve that problem. The first time I talked to you, you thought it was Trojan horse or something. I haven't been able to eliminate that. It still comes up. I have to shut it down.
Have you run the Security Tango?
Yes, I have.
And this is something that's called System 6?
SYS6. It shows up somewhere in the programs if I go looking for it.
Could be a remnant of a program that maybe wasn't uninstalled correctly.
Oh.
And it's trying to start up. Somewhere is either in the MS config. If you look in there, you go to start, run, and go to MS config. There might be a program there that's trying to load that.
Because every time the desktop comes up, it always comes up there, and it's a little icon. It opens up and tries to open.
It's either in the startup group or in MS config. You might want to check there.
Do you have Dragon Speak? Dragon?
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely do that then. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco. Give us a call on Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody, and particularly you, Rob.
Oh!
This is Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
Steve Ray.
You know what? Don't start with me. Okay? Do not start. I can't help that everything changes every week here.
Uh-huh. And you are?
I don't even want to talk about it.
He is Rob Linton at 44 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbite. All right.
You guys criticize. You're in there in the plush little environment.
We've got
all
the sauna,
all you have to do is just,
spa.
You know, everything's all set up for you.
You got the couch and the refrigerator.
You got the bar, you got the catering set up, you know what I mean?
We do, and you guys are in there shoveling the coal and sitting on the old...
I'm shoveling something in here, but it's not coal.
You certainly are that.
Well, I'm interested in the
old wire spools. That's the only chairs they have in there. It's tough for them.
I'm interested in the pictures that Rob has got on the other screen there.
Here we go.
No, the one that we can see.
Shh. No, that's Dan. Anyway. Dan's got those up.
Oh, I didn't see... I thought Rob Jason was still in there.
No, it's Dan.
All the news guy.
The man behind the wall.
All right, before we get back to the phones, we want to tell you that, very exciting, the next generation DVD format battle is on. Blu-ray disc players and movies are coming this week to a store near you. The first player and content for the Blu-ray disc high-definition movie disc format will be launched this week, about 3 months after the first hardware and movies for that rival HD DVD format went on sale. The main backers of Blu-ray include Sony, Panasonic, and Samsung Electronics, while companies supporting DVD HD DVD are Toshiba, NEC, and Intel. So on June 20th, the Samsung BDP-1000 player... 8 movies from Sony Pictures Entertainment will signal the Blu-ray disc's entry into the consumer market. The first 8 Blu-ray discs will include 51st Dates, The Fifth Element, Multipass, and The Terminator. A 9th film, Ultraviolet, will launch simultaneously with the DVD version on June 27th. In July, we'll see Basic Instinct 2, Risk Addiction, Stealth, and A Knight's Tale. The big problem is there's really technically very, very little difference between these two formats. They both use the same basic Blu-ray technology. They use the same compression system. So the picture quality on each is going to be very close, if not actually identical.
Yeah.
The biggest issue between the two is that Sony has a greater capacity.
Exactly.
Which implies better quality.
Or lower quality,
with longer movies. And the HD DVD is more manufacturingly compatible, I guess. It's similar to the existing DVD standard,
right.
So it makes it a little cheaper to make. What we expect will happen, and there's companies already working on it, is in another year we'll see combined Blu-ray HDVD drives that will run both. Just like we had the plus and minus and the DVD and the CD and the R and ER, all the acronyms.
And
acronym compliant.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I suspect most people will wait for the multi-format.
Yeah.
Multi-pass. The multi-format.
Sony does have a little bit of an edge because they have all the movie studios under Sony
thing.
As well.
That's the big thing.
And actually,
thing.
Both the...
They could be the driving force.
Well, they've been going through this for a couple of years now, that both of the forums, the Blu-ray forum and the HD-DVD forum, have been going to all the movie studios and say, you know, release it in our format. And a bunch of studios said one, and a bunch of studios said the other one, and a bunch of studios said both.
Right, right. So really, most of us will wait for the multi-drive. Or the ultra multi-drive, as they're calling it, which will do both, yeah. And that way it doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, the neat thing is the Blu-ray is 50 gigabytes per side.
Right.
So that's a whole lot of space.
Well,
now.
Right now they're $1,000 a piece, but that's this week.
I remember paying $4,000 for a 4X CDR. Not
right.
even an RW, a CDR.
Right, mm-hmm. right. The big thing is the first people who are going to buy it are going to buy it for the data capacity. Mm-hmm. I can do a lot of backup on 50 gigs.
Yep.
So for that, you'll find people doing guys like you too who own shops. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, "Oh, I need this backed up." Well, yep. You can give it to them on a CD, 100 CDs, half a dozen DVDs, or one Blu-ray device, and you're on your own
there
to
you
read
go.
It back
yeah.
again. I'll even sell you the drive to run. But the point is, you can do 50 gigs right away. And now, in the days of 100 and 200 and 300 and 700 gig drives, that's important.
Yep.
So we'll see it being used, I think, initially for that.
The average folks won't bother until they come bundled with computers.
Right, and then they'll take whichever one comes. You know, that's the way it works for the average consumer. They're not going to ask. When I get a machine built by Dave, I get to order what I want. I put together what I want. But when most people buy machines, they just, they're looking price. They're looking at whatever. And it's a whole different story. So we'll see what goes on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We got some folks on the line. Hold on. If you're not on the line, why not? You're listening to Sound Bites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, at 49 minutes after the hour. This is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
C's to Max. These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We have Mark from Irondequoit on the line. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Yeah, I got an old Aptiva that a friend of mine gave me.
Uh-huh.
It had a noisy hard drive in it, so I changed out the hard drive, and now the icons are all kind of large and grainy, like pixelated.
It's probably because, now when you change this out, did you also put the drivers in for the video card?
No.
Yeah, you're probably
running 640 by 480
at 16 colors.
And 16 colors. Yeah,
yeah.
If you go into the control panel and click on the display, there's a tab there that will then allow you to change your resolution and the number of colors.
And if
you didn't put in the drivers, it's not going to allow you to do that.
Yeah, if you don't get the option to increase the resolution in colors, you need to load the drivers for
that video card.
My friend didn't give me no disks or nothing on it.
Well, you can usually go on the web, even though it'll be, large on the screen. You can usually go do a Google search for that manufacturer or even the Compaq and go to their website and
IBM.
Get the drivers.
Yeah, it's tricky now that IBM sold its PC business to Lenovo, a Chinese company that probably employs workers in factories for $50 a month.
But you can do a search, though, and get the drivers for that video, you know, that machine, and then you can change the resolution and the graininess of, you know, the icons and all that.
But that's what it's going to take, Mark.
Yeah.
I couldn't even move the little slide. The slide icon.
Right, because because that's the only one it knows about.
Yep.
Okie doke. Thanks. Now, listen, Steve, we talked about this earlier during the break. You're right. There are a million companies operating sweatshops in third world countries. The problem is, and, you know, Apple, you can't have it both ways. Apple has spent a lot of time touting itself as morally superior, physically superior, economically superior. Yep. People expect more of Apple. They have built their reputation on taking it to the next level and being more moral and more better and more everything than anybody else. And then you can't turn around and say, well, yeah, we're right about it in that instance, but when it comes to sweatshops in third world countries, we're just like everybody else. It doesn't work that way. You've got to admit that when you build your rep, you got to live by the rep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad in some respects that Apple's getting picked on, but they're not.
They've built their rep. Yep. That's the rep they picked.
We're better than everyone else.
That's what they're saying.
Just like your commercials right now.
And you can't then say we're better than everybody else, except in this. So ignore the man behind the curtain.
Because right now they've been running the ads on how much easier. Matter of fact, I just saw one.
I love those ads.
And they showed the two guys, the Mac guy and the PC guy, and they're both in boxes.
In their boxes, yeah.
Now, see, there again, yep. It's so easy. You just pull it out of the box, set it up, and you're going.
I'm going to go make a couple of movies, maybe listen to some music. What are you going to do? I got to wait for the other boxes to come.
Right there is the image.
But even beyond that, when you're talking strictly about the morals of the company, they touted, well, we only sell movies for 99 cents, and we let you do more with them, and we're a better company, and we do this, and we're good for that. Except in third world countries. You can't do that. It's like Google. We're not evil, you know, do no evil, except in China, where we let the government decide what to censor. You can't have it both ways.
I found an interesting article in a Chinese newspaper that I mentioned about the Apple factory thing. And they're saying that a Big Mac in China is $1 U.S., and in America, it's $2.50. So, and the iPods that these people are making, in China, it's $50. In America, it's $200.
Right.
Converted to U.S. dollars. So it's the economy is just so different.
Well, yes, that's absolutely true. And by the way, it only costs about $97 to make an iPod.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a good deal if you can get it. I'll tell you that right now.
It's the $15 million in R&D that they're recouping.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. They can't have it both ways, and that's just the way it works. Nothing we can do about that. All right, listen. We're done for another week. Apparently, Rob thinks we're finished. Yes, and he's sad about that. I can tell.
Use all your fingers when you wave, Rob.
Yeah, all of them. But we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody whose calls, too, which we did not get. I apologize. Call early and often. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. God bless each and every one of you. Take time to hug your families. That's what it's all about today. We have Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. You've been listening at 59 minutes after the hour to Soundbites.